23. The bartender, a thick-armed woman with a dyed black topknot and red lips, glanced up as light from the parking lot followed Mike inside. As promised, the place was narrow, with the actual bar itself running half the length. The stools were freestanding, not bolted to the floor, and some of them formed small clusters and knots. A pool table and jukebox filled the back third, and a dartboard was set up where it would be far too dangerous to use. Two men watched ESPN with the volume at a murmur. An older woman drank at the bar with one hand up, holding the memory of a cigarette. A man in a business suit studied a whiskey. Jamie sat at the far end of the bar nursing a beer. Mike hesitated, three steps into the bar, still close to the door. Then she held up the beer bottle and gestured him closer with it. He walked over but didn't sit down.
"How goes it?"
"Carly," she called to the bartender. "Give the government jerk a drink on me."
"You're too kind," he said.
"It's a bar," said Jamie. "People come here to drink, not to talk." "What'll it be?"
asked Carly. "Rum and coke." He sat down next to Jamie. The stools had a good distance between them. "Can we talk at all?" he asked. "Or do I have to have a drink in my hand?" She killed her beer and let the bottle clunk on the bar.
"Will the drink make you more bearable?"
"The first one won't, but probably the second one."
"Well," she said, "that answers that, then."
The top-knotted bartender set down a large glass for Mike and another bottle for Jamie. She lifted the beer and held it out without looking at him. He tapped his drink against hers. She took three long swallows before setting the bottle back on the bar.
"Thanks for telling me about the wireless yesterday," she said. "Stupid mistake. I should have done that a year ago."
He pulled the straw out of his drink and had a sip.
"You're welcome. Why'd you tell me?"
He shrugged. "Just the decent thing to do." Jamie coughed and took another hit off the bottle. She set it down.
"His girlfriend called this afternoon looking for him. No one had told her. Anne had to break the news."
Mike decided to have another sip of his drink rather than say anything.
"I finished going through all the code," she said, "and I've run 14 different simulations. It couldn't have happened. The accident."
"It did." She shook her head.
"Not because of me."
He waited a few moments to see if she had more to say.
"You sure?" "Positive. Numbers don't lie. And nothing was wrong with the numbers. If something went wrong, then it's been going wrong every single time we've used the door and nobody ever noticed anything."
"Or something else failed somewhere in the calculations," said Mike. "One of the science teachers at my school told me that on every test, she usually has one or two kids who get an equation wrong but still get all the math right."
"You think we've had the equations wrong all this time?"
Mike shrugged and had another drink. She snorted.
"There's nothing wrong. Besides, the doors always worked."
"Except when you tried to put it on a timer."
"Yeah, whatever. Don't nitpick. It works. The equations work. The math works. The door opens. We go through it. It has to be something that went wrong with the hardware."
"And Neil and Sasha say it's not the hardware. So there has to be something else." She made a rude noise and drank half the remaining beer. "Have you considered it might be something cumulative?"
"You better finish that,"
she said to Mike, waving to the bartender.
"You're going to have another one in a minute."
"You always drink this much?"
"Only when people I know die in front of me."
She finished the bottle and set it down on the counter. He gave a slow nod and took another drink. "That's kind of impressive."
"What is?"
"Going through all the code already."
"You know, for a supposedly decent guy, you're kind of a cold bastard, aren't you?"
"Me?"
"Bob's been dead a day and a half, and you're still talking about work."
Mike downed the last of his drink in one swallow.
"I don't have anything to say."
"That's what I mean," she said. "Cold bastard."
Carly set down another glass and another bottle. She looked at Mike, then Jamie.
"He's still on your tab?"
Jamie nodded. She didn't bother holding the beer out for a toast this time. She swallowed twice and set it down on the bar.
"So,"
she said,
"why is Leland Mike Erickson, sometime decent guy, such a bastard?"
"You really want to know?"
"No, but it beats anything else we could talk about."
He took a hit off his drink, then another.
"Did you have a pet die when you were little?"
Jamie wrinkled her brow.
What?
A cat? A dog?
Are you comparing Bob to a cat?
I'm trying to make a point.
Yeah, of course I did.
You said cat. What was her name?
His. Spock.
Did you cry when he died? She tilted the bottle back.
What's it to you?
Did you?
Yeah, okay, I was 8 and my cat died.
He swallowed some more rum and coke. You're not crying now.
It was almost 30 years ago.
Mike nodded. Lose any of your grandparents?
Both on my mom's side,
said Jamie.
One on my dad's.
You're not crying for them either. She banged the bottle down loud enough to draw attention.
Is this some super genius analogy where you try to prove I'm as big a bastard as you?
No, he said. Just making a point.
Okay, what?
What I keep telling you. I remember everything. My memories never fade. They never get soft or blurry. Never. Jamie blinked. My dog, Batman, was hit by a car when I was 6, said Mike, and I cried for 4 hours. I lost my granddad on my mom's side when I was 9, and my nana on my dad's when I was 11. We had to put down our cat, Jake, the morning of my 16th birthday. My mom died my junior year of college, and I was there in the hospital with her, and every single one of them could have happened a minute ago. I can tell you what everyone around me said, every thought in my head, every sight and sound and smell. I remember every second of them all dying with perfect crystal clarity. Everything's always raw. It's always too soon. She lowered the bottle.
That sounds like hell.
It's not great, he agreed. And now I get to have Bob dying right in front of me every day for the rest of my life. I'd be lying if I said I haven't had a few nights where I wished for early onset Alzheimer's because I don't want to think about how much will be in my head by the time I'm 60 or 70.
That's messed up.
Yeah, he said. Her chin dipped toward the bar.
I never thought of it like that.
No one ever does. He tilted his glass back and swallowed twice.
Did you really have a dog named Batman?
You had a cat named Spock.
Yep.
Mike sketched lines around his eyes with his fingers. He had black fur on his face like a mask. I thought he went out at night and fought crime. Jamie's lips twitched into a faint smile.
So the whole superbrain thing didn't kick in until later?
Batman was a great dog. He could have been fighting crime while I was asleep. Her lips got dangerously close to a smile again. A moment later, she held up her half-empty bottle. A moment after that, he tapped it with his glass. I'm sorry if it seemed like I didn't care, Mike said. I liked Bob. He seemed like a decent guy.
He was,
she said. Her tongue slipped, and it came out sounding like wash. She shook her head and rolled her shoulders. They popped twice. He tapped his fingers on his glass and nodded at her shoulder. Sorry about this morning.
About what?
He gestured with his chin again. Touching you. She frowned, then shook her head.
Don't be. I was angry. I needed to blow off some steam. I overreacted.
It wasn't appropriate.
Oh, for fuck's sake,
she said.
You touched my shoulder by accident. It's not like you slapped my ass or something.
It bothered you.
Because I have issues. My issues aren't your problem.
She raised her beer and tilted her head back. He finished his own drink. His throat was warm and a pleasant tingle ran from the back of his skull down into his chest. Jamie downed the last of her bottle and waved for the bartender. How many is that for you? He asked.
Enough that this is her last one,
said the bartender. How many? Asked Mike.
This one's 10 in about 2 hours. Fuck,
Jamie said.
Bob's dead, Carly.
I know, said the top-knotted woman.
Give me your keys and you can have 2 more for him before I call you a cab.
Jamie dug in her coat pocket and slapped a mess of keys on the bar.
Give me 3 more and the government jerk can walk me home.
Mike raised his eyebrows.
Oh, don't get your hopes up,
she told him.
Do you actually know this guy?
Asked Carly.
He looks kind of like a government jerk. I was going to say kind of like Snape in Harry Potter.
Sitting right here, said Mike.
He's fine,
Jamie said. She tapped the key ring.
Drinks.
Carly gave Mike a look. He returned it. She sighed and scooped up the keys.
I don't usually drink this much,
Jamie told him.
Well, you're doing it like a pro.
She snorted, but it turned into a chuckle at the end.
Bob was always telling me to loosen up. I never listened.
Issues?
Yeah.
Carly returned. She set a fresh glass in front of Mike and put a beer in Jamie's hand. A third of the bottle was already empty. Jamie didn't seem to notice. He slid the straw out of his drink and dropped it on the bar.
Anything you want to talk about?
What?
Your issues?
She straightened up and stared at him.
Are you serious?
Mike shrugged.
Part of the teacher thing.
She shook her head.
I'd think it'd be in all those great personnel files you saw.
Believe it or not, even these days, government files aren't as in-depth as most people think,
he said.
I did some stuff as a kid that I was sure would be in mine. It was a bit disappointing.
She smirked.
Not that special after all. Must have been a blow.
I've had worse.
Jamie took a quick drink.
You know I'm a speed junkie, right?
Yeah, that's in there.
The ants carried out her dossier pages.
23 speeding tickets in 4 states over 5 years, 8 driving to endanger. It raised a lot of flags when you were vetted for the Seth Project, even after Arthur vouched for you and got them to overlook your hacker history. It's a miracle you've still got a license.
Traffic school. It doesn't mention the crash?
Mike shook his head.
Crash?
She sighed.
All that brain power and it never occurred to you why a cheerleader turned into a computer geek?
I just figured you were some internet male fantasy come to life.
She made an unpleasant sound and hefted her bottle again.
I was 16,
she said,
dating this guy from the next town over, Kevin Yulin. Kev. He only had 2 things going for him. He was a college freshman and he had a motorcycle. Drove my parents nuts. I'd sneak out at night and we'd drive around, get out on the highway and push it up to 110 or so, then fuck wherever we ended up. Perfect high school summer relationship.
I've seen a few like that.
Jamie nodded.
Bet you have, mister. I'm just a high school teacher.
She swallowed 2 mouthfuls of beer, then raised an eyebrow at the mostly empty bottle. She made 2 attempts to line it up with the wet ring on the bar napkin, then gave up and set it down. Her eyes were glassy.
One night, he hit a wet spot, lost it, and dropped the bike. We were going about 95. They said he died instantly. Hit the ground just right and snapped his neck, even with the helmet. I got thrown off and skidded almost 100 feet down the road on my back. He'd given me his leather jacket. Without it, the pavement would have ripped me to shreds. They say it was just rags when the paramedics got there. Serious miracle I didn't end up in a wheelchair. As it was, I woke up in the hospital with a broken arm and 3 fractured vertebrae. Wore a halo until Christmas.
She reached up and gestured at the 2 scars on her forehead.
That must have been terrifying.
Oh, yeah. Lucked out that I didn't end up with a bunch of surgical pins or any of that, but I had to get skin grafts over most of my back, sides, and this arm.
She picked up the bottle with her left hand and toasted, but didn't drink.
They didn't take well, and it ended up scarring a lot. A complete mess. So ended my days as a cheerleader. No more halter tops or short sleeves. Had to wear this awful high-necked dress to the prom. You know it's bad when an 18-year-old boy doesn't want to have sex with his date on prom night?
Mike looked at her shoulder.
So your back's still sensitive?
Nah,
said Jamie.
It's completely numb. The crash grated off pretty much every nerve ending from my neck to my ass. Haven't felt anything in almost 17 years.
So what's the...
I just don't like being reminded that I'm disfigured.
I'd hardly say that, he said. If you don't mind me saying it, you're one of the most beautiful women I've ever met.
She waved the words away.
Yeah, that's what they all say. Then they see me naked.
She downed the last of her beer. The bottle hit the bar hard and loud. Mike looked at her.
Can I ask you a question?
Her head went side to side.
No, you cannot see my scars.
Not that.
I was just wondering how you read all that code today.
What?
Over 2 million lines of code. How'd you go through all of it in one day? She looked at him for a moment. She took in a slow breath, then her eyes got watery and trembled.
Oh, you poor bastard.
What?
I'm gonna throw up all over you on the way home.